grab your Bible. And for the last time, turn to the book of Hebrews, okay? Not for the last time ever, just for the last time in this like section. We've been working verse by verse through the book of Hebrews, and today's our last day, okay? So if you if it's your first time here, you came on a good day because we're ending something. So you can say you were here to the end. And so I hope this has been a good book for you. It's been good for me, and learning a lot. We're going to do, starting next week, we're going to do a short series for 9 weeks through the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We'll take one of those every week and talk about how God, through the Spirit, wants to grow those traits in us. And then we'll do a vision, like we always do at the when college students get back in the middle of August to the middle of September. And then after the middle of September, we'll do something else. Okay, so that's where we're going for the next 15 weeks. So 16 weeks. So anyway, just so you know where we're headed. But today, finish up Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to do verses 7 through the end. So and you kind of saw this a little bit last week where the author of the book of Hebrews, he gets to the end of the book here, and he starts just giving us a bunch of information to make sure we get all these. Like, he had some few things he didn't get to that he wanted to get to. So last week, we talked about the marginalized. We talked about marriage. We talked about money. And today, we get back to talking about Jesus, and he's talking about leaders as well. So you'll see all that in here, and hopefully we'll take away what the Lord has for us to see. So Hebrews 13. It says, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. This great verse here. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace. I'd underline that if I were you. Not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat. For the bodies of the animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. I'll explain that to you in just a minute, in case you don't have a working knowledge of the Levitical law. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, through Jesus, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. And do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. I urge you the more earnestly to do this in order that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I appeal to you, brothers, bear with my word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly, 13 chapters. You should know that our brother Timothy has been released, and with whom I shall see you if he comes soon. Greet all your leaders with all the saints. Those who come from Italy send you greetings. Grace be with all of you. All right, good ending of this book. And I want us to see three things really here. And just, it's a good ending here. It's a really good ending, and some reminders that he gives the church there that I think we can learn from. So I want you to see those reminders about Jesus, about leaders, and then he wraps up the whole book there in those last few verses I want you to see, and we'll try to see them pretty quickly, okay? Well, the first thing that I want to make sure that we see out of this is this idea, this thought, and if you'd like to fill in blanks, you can grab this. There are notes on there if you want. If you're ADD like me, this page, the last page of Hebrews, has come out of my Bible. Okay, so I'm trying to keep it there, but I think it may be time for a new Bible. Otherwise, people would say I'm trying to take pages out of it. So, final things. Number one, look to Jesus and be strengthened by His grace. Okay, this is His last thoughts that He's leaving with the church that He's sending this letter to, and really the last thing He's saying is, man, don't forget to look to Jesus. Don't stop looking at Jesus, and don't forget to be strengthened by His grace. And He's going to give two reasons why they should do that, and reasons why you and I should continue to look at Jesus and continue to be strengthened by His grace. And I would remind you of this, that the grace of Jesus and the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God has sent His Son to the world to save sinners like you and like me, that is great news for the lost that need to trust Christ, but that is also great news for those of us that have trusted Him that need to trust Him more. Okay? And so He's telling the church here to be strengthened by His grace, to look at Jesus, and when you look at Him and remember who He is and remember what He does and how He works for your good, that would strengthen you in His grace, okay? And so He says in verse 8, which is such a great verse, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This thought that He doesn't change, okay? Jesus doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And do you understand how good that is for us? You understand the gravity and the depth of that? That Jesus doesn't change. Every time I come to Him, every single time I come to Him, I can know that I can approach His throne of grace with confidence, He says in Hebrews 4, that I would receive grace and mercy to help in my time of need. Every time, because He doesn't change. He's not moody, okay? There's no like pre-coffee Jesus. Okay? Like there is Jeremy. Because not only am I not the same yesterday, today, and forever. Like sometimes I'm different depending on what time of the day you get me, okay? Like, pre-lunch Jeremy, pre-coffee Jeremy, post had a bad conversation with somebody and I'm mad Jeremy, you know? I mean, like, I'm just this different guy, just depending on, I shouldn't be so emotional and so up and down, but you know, you're going to ride through life with me, it's like riding a roller coaster, okay? I mean, I'm really high, or really not really in the middle, just really high, really low, so you can pray for Jenny in that, but the great news is that when you come to Jesus, He's the same. He's always the same Jesus. He's always welcoming me. Whether I have been walking in a season of obedience, or maybe I'm stumbling toward Him in a season of disobedience. Either place, He says, come to me. All who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come to me. Receive grace and mercy to help in our time of need. That's why this is such an important verse. That Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what that should remind you about Jesus is how wonderful He is. How beautiful and powerful He is. And really, in a lot of ways, how different He is than me and you. He's so different from us in a holy, good way, and He's so different. He's the same always. No matter what I've done, no matter what I'm coming out of, no matter what I'm going into, no matter what I need, He says, come to me. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when we come to Him, this Jesus who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, He offers to us grace, forgiveness, and hope to everyone that will call on Him. I want you to read a few of these verses that we read there. All right? Verse 9. Okay. 8 says, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And really, 9, 10, 11, 12 through 16 is, since that's true, here's what we should do. Okay? Since Jesus doesn't change, here's what you ought to do. Since Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, don't be led away by diverse and strange teachings. That makes sense? Like, Jesus isn't changing. So, if somebody's like preaching to you a gospel other than the gospel that's been preached, if somebody's teaching you things about God or about Jesus that hasn't been said about Him, that we don't see about Him in the Scriptures, don't believe it. Don't be led away by that, because Jesus doesn't change, okay? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is rich in mercy and love, abounding in love to all who calls on Him, okay? So don't be led away in that, because it's good for your heart, I love that line, to be strengthened by grace. Good for you to be strengthened by grace. And this Jesus, He's not worried about the food and all this kind of stuff, okay? And He gets in verse 11, and He's talking about, he points to, and we've talked about this, there's kind of a lost in translation in a sense that this book, this letter, was written to Jews and Messianic Jews that had trusted Christ and those that had not trusted Christ yet, but were around those that had. And the writer of the book of Hebrews just says things at times that those readers would have been really familiar with what he was talking about, but for dumb redneck Gentiles in Tuscaloosa, we don't necessarily get the, like, oh yeah, I know exactly what he's talking about. So here, he goes into this deal in verse 11, that the bodies of the animals of the blood is brought to the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice of sin are burned outside the camp, okay? Which is, what that is on the Day of Atonement, when they would go into the Holy of Holies and offer sacrifice on this Day of Atonement, the bodies of those animals were taken outside the camp, outside the city, outside the gate, and they were burned. Now, other animals that were offered on the altars, the various altars in the temple, a lot of the times those bodies, those animals were eaten, okay? The Levites, the priests would use those sacrifices after their blood had been shed. They would take those animals and they would actually eat them for dinner, okay? Kind of part of the benefit of being a priest, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, don't make that gross. That's just, it was not being wasteful, okay? But the blood of, the bodies of the animals that were killed for the Day of Atonement sacrifice, those bodies were taken outside the camp and burned. And here's why. To signify that those animals, what they provided for the people was forgiveness of their sins and hope of a God who forgives their sins. Okay? So that body was, they took that outside and burned it as an observation of the fact that this animal had been used, its use was spent on the forgiveness of the sin that it was offered, okay? And so he says that as if it's working knowledge, because it would have been for these people, not for you and for me, okay? And so he uses that example. He says, Jesus is the same way. That's verse 12. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. And he says, we ought to go to him. Since Jesus is our Day of Atonement, atoning sacrifice for our sins, we should go to him and rest in him. And just like the Day of Atonement sacrifice brought mercy and forgiveness and hope to those people, we go to Jesus now to find mercy and forgiveness and hope. So don't put your hope in food. Don't put your hope in things. Put your hope in Jesus. Now here's the point, okay, that I would want to encourage you towards this morning in that, is that when you feel like a failure, and I don't know if you ever feel like a failure, you probably should feel like a failure sometimes, okay? You should, like, spiritually, I mean, I just totally failed the Lord. I walked in disobedience. I did not, you know. And maybe you feel like a failure sometimes in life in general, okay? I do a lot of times, all right? But if you do, I think the point here is no matter what's going on in your life, you can come to Jesus. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when you come to him, you can rest assured that you will be strengthened by his grace. And so don't turn to food to be strengthened. And look, there's evidence that some people thought that if you ate the meat of an animal that was sacrificed, like God had some kind of special, there was some kind of weird dietary, like I ate this, and so now I get something super spiritual. And what the writer of the book of Hebrews is saying here is, you don't need food for that, all right? You don't need to go for food. You can go to Jesus, our eternal sacrifice. He doesn't change. He gives mercy and hope and forgiveness to all that will come to him. So you don't need some special diet, okay? You don't need that. You come to Jesus. Be strengthened by grace. Look at Jesus. He doesn't change. Look at him, the author and perfecter of our faith. Come to him. He went outside and suffered for us so that we can now come to him, and that's what we ought to do. Man, a beautiful, deep kind of picture there that he gives them. So if you're struggling in here, and when you struggle, and be strengthened by the grace of God. He loves you. He's for you. He has sent his son for you to suffer in your place one time for all time. So let's go to him when we struggle and when we suffer. Second thing, verse 7 and 17 and 18, okay? I'm going to go ahead and tell you, some of you aren't going to like these verses. I don't know what to tell you about that. Except you should. Remember your leaders who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Verse 17 and 18. He says, obey your leaders and submit to them. What? For they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will give an account. And let them do this, not with joy, not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. All right. The point here is this. Follow godly, joyful, God-given leaders. Okay? It's a really long point. Now, you may read that verse. Go back to verse 17 for a minute, if you don't mind. You may read this and go, I'm not doing that. Whether you want to do it or not, it doesn't negate what God has called godly, joyful, God-given leaders to do. Okay? Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will give an account. And I want you to know, as your pastor, this verse feels really weighty to me. Okay? When we talk to our elders about what their job is, this is the verse we normally go to. Okay? It's not, your job's not to run the church. I don't even really know what that means. Okay? Your job is not to rule. Your job is to keep watch over the souls of men as one who will give an account. Who wants to sign up for that? Okay? Like literally, when we do elder interviews with people, this is the first place we go. Hey, you want a piece of this? Keeping watch over the souls of men as one who will give an account. Okay? And I just want you to know that that is weighty to me. Like I feel the weight of that. And you may go, I don't need you to watch over my soul. I feel you. I mean, I understand independence. Okay? But that's what the scriptures have called godly leaders to do. It's to watch over souls of men and women as one who will give an account. And I don't really know what to say beyond that. It's what the scriptures say, and it says that as we do that, God's going to hold us accountable to that. And I just want you to know that we don't take that lightly here. We're really slow to make decisions sometimes because of verses like this. All right? Your staff and your elders and your leaders in general, we take this really seriously. And I know Capstone can be the hip cool church or whatever, but like this is weighty to us. And we want it, by the way, that should be really weighty to people, right? Like no one should read those verses and be like, "Yeah, that sounds, I could do that." That's why every elder, can I tell you this? Every one of your elders, every one of us, are always like, hey, no, look, if you want me to not do this, that's fine. Like, you can, Josh and I always talk about, like, hey, if they want to take us off of the elder deal, like, yeah, they can, that's fine. Because it's heavy, right? It's heavy. And he says that this is how they should do it. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning. Like, it's a joy. It's heavy to pastor you, to shepherd you, to watch over your souls. That's heavy, but it's joyful. I mean, think about what pastors get to do. I tell people, we have a front row seat to the best of times and the worst of times in people's lives. Because if someone is getting married, I get to be there, all right? I'm in the middle of all the pictures. Right? I could really mess your wedding pictures up. Right? Or like a really crazy tie. And so, I don't do that. But somebody has a baby, we're there. We get to go see the baby. All right? And when somebody's at hospice waiting on their grandmother to die or their mother to die, we're there. Someone loses a child in a miscarriage, we're there. Right? I mean, we get to see somebody's life is falling apart and the proverbial crap has hit the fan in their marriage. We're there. We're there. Joyfully, okay? Joyfully there. Wouldn't want to be anywhere else. Want to be right there. But I just want you to understand the weightiness of that, okay? And when you read words like obey your leaders and submit to them, this isn't some kind of a yes man uniformity responsibility. It is as your leaders follow Christ and lead you to follow Christ, you should follow them. The moment your leaders don't do that, you shouldn't follow them. But when your leaders are following Christ and encouraging you to follow Christ, you should imitate them in doing that, and you should follow Christ. You should follow them as they follow Christ. Okay? As one who is keeping watch over your soul. And so, I could go deeper into that, but I won't. But I would tell you this. You need, because here's the deal. I think this is a sub-point. Never follow a pastor who doesn't understand that he will give an account for how he led you. Okay, and here's why I say this. Tuscaloosa's got a lot of great churches, okay? And Capstone is not the church for everybody. I get that, and like that's good. I mean, we wouldn't want everybody in Tuscaloosa at our church, right? And we believe that this county will be best served when every gospel preaching church is full and healthy and growing, right? That's why we have a heart for other churches, and we want to help other churches. But I would tell you this, if Capstone isn't the place for you, then if you go somewhere else, great, okay? Like we good, it's okay. But don't ever follow a guy who doesn't love you, support you, share the gospel with you, and know that he's going to be accountable for how he leads you. Okay? Like, if he's going to keep watch over your soul, he ought to count that as a weighty, weighty, weighty thing. Where you have a pastor who joyfully submits to Christ and calls you to do the same, I would encourage you to follow him. Okay? Follow him toward Jesus. And look, this idea of leaders and submission and obeying, if somebody ever uses these verses in some kind of a power-hungry way, he hadn't understood these verses right. Okay? There's nothing in these verses that point to powerful elder board, we're in charge ideas. I mean, when you talk about keeping watch over somebody's soul as one who's going to give an account, that sounds like a guy who better be really humble and on his face, okay? And man, we need to do it more and more and more. All right, in the end, 20 to 25. I want you to see these verses, and we'll just read them and go with it, okay? Now may the God of peace who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good so that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Christ Jesus, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I want you to hear this ending and see these points, okay? Remember this as we close this book and move on, that our God is a God of peace. He's a God of peace. May the God of peace, that's who he is, who brought again from the dead our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, our great shepherd, is alive. He's not dead. Our great high priest is alive. He is at the right hand of the Father. He is interceding for you and for me, and he's offering grace and mercy to help in our time of need of anyone who will come and trust him. Number three, you are eternally valuable to God. If you ever doubt that, look at Jesus. Look at his blood that was shed for you. May the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, the next one, he equips you to do his will. Isn't that great? God doesn't just say, here's what you ought to do. He says, here's what you ought to do, and I'm going to help you do it. He equips you to do his will. He will equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. Next point there, God is already pleased with you, and at the very same time, he is working on me to make me more pleasing to him. He's pleased with me, and he is making me more pleasing to him. We used to sing a little song when I was a kid. You may have sang it too. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week, and we can argue about that, but it took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, because he's still working on me. And then lastly, God's grace will continue to go with us all. He says there at the very end, grace be with you all. And here's the deal, and we're done. My prayer for us is that when we look at Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that we would be strengthened by His grace. Okay, so when I need to be strengthened, when I'm weak, I'm struggling, look at Jesus. Okay, look to Him, be reminded of His grace, rest in the gospel, rest in His love for you. Okay, it's what we all ought to do. Let's make sure our leaders, let's hold our leaders accountable to take care and watch over our souls, and let's humbly follow them as they follow Christ. And lastly, okay, this beautiful picture that we have a God of peace who has sent His Son for us. We are valuable to Him. He has equipped us. He's going to continue to equip us to be more pleasing to Him. And His grace is going to be sufficient for us day in and day out. So let's run to Him and be strengthened by His grace. Would you join me as we pray together? God, I thank You for Your word this morning. I pray that, God, there's so much we could have talked about here, Lord, and we just fly through it. Lord, I pray that You'd fill in the gaps in our hearts and help us understand You correctly and truthfully and clearly. And God, for anyone in the room that hasn't trusted Christ, I pray this morning that we trust You, that we see this beauty of who You are, and we would fall on our faces before You and say, You are good, and You love us, and I want to trust You. And Lord, for all of us that have trusted You, God, give us grace to trust You more. Help us be strengthened by Your grace and all these things that we do and how we seek You. And so, Lord, now I pray as we sing the song of response, it's not just like the last song, but it's our chance to respond to Your word and do what You've told us to do. And we're all going to respond, either in obedience or disobedience. We're going to respond to You today and this week. And I pray that we would be obedient to You in our response to You. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.